It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. How do you exercise? Maybe you set a New Year's resolution at the start of the year to be more active. Of course, there are a lot of ways to do that. You could go biking or running or swimming. But there's another form of exercise that supporters are working to bring into the mainstream. It's called pole fitness or pole dancing. I should say up front, my next guest makes no secret of where doing acrobatics around poles came to be. But from those origins, it's come to take on many different forms, as we'll get into. Studios have been popping up across the state, and one of them is owned by Liana Alcantara. Defy Gravity in Urbana has been around since 2015. Liana has owned it since 2017. She also serves as studio manager and joins me now. Liana, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, I should note today's program, in order to make our schedules meet, is on tape. So we are not taking calls for this, but let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. So for those who have not seen this before, paint a picture for us. Broadly speaking, what does pole fitness look like? What is the body doing?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the great things about pole fitness is that it truly is a full body workout, and that it also kind of came about at the same time as, you know, some really great movements in fitness and just overall body positivity, body neutrality. And so by and large, many pole studios, I would go ahead and even say maybe most, really have that ethos as part of what they're doing, that it doesn't necessarily matter what you look like when you're starting or what levels of strength you're walking in with. It's really about, you know, finding a joyful form of movement that works for you. And the kind of different categories that people will blend in their dance performances are, you know, sometimes people are a little bit more on the sensual side of things. Sometimes people are more on the contemporary dance side of things. When gymnasts got a hold of pole, a whole new world was opened. And so it's a really adaptive style of dance and fitness that really allows people to kind of meet themselves where they're at when it comes to developing a physical routine.
What sort of muscle groups are we talking about? Is this leg muscles? Do you need upper body strength? Is it core?
Sure. So definitely when you're getting into certain levels of the acrobatic stuff, you are very much so going to be in your upper body. But I always like to tell my students also, like when I first started, I was fresh off a couch. I am a plus size individual and I have been most of my life. And so I never really thought that something that would require me to, you know, climb up a 14-foot pole would really necessarily be for me. But it really is something that as you find the movement you want to do, because it's body weight training, you know, you're for someone like myself, who I'm not necessarily super motivated to just go to the gym or run on a treadmill, right? But if I see like a really cool move or a really cool spin or like a really awesome dance move that I just want to learn, I'm far more motivated to, you know, do the training necessary to achieve that goal. And pole has been a great way for me and many others to do that.
So you mentioned a big part of your project is to make your studio super inclusive. And that can be whether we're talking about, you know, what you call a body neutral space or people who are LGBTQ. I mean, to the extent you've already mentioned this a little bit, but to the extent you're comfortable going more into it, can you talk about your own experiences with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So I actually was a high school teacher before I made a career transition into what I call a very much different classroom, but still get to teach. And I actually found pole fitness as a student when I was teaching. And I danced as a kid and I really loved it. But you know, you grow up into an adult, you don't have time to do those things, right? You get a job, you got to do the thing, right? Finding dance again later in life was really, really transformative for me. And so when the opportunity came up to become a part of the studio in a more concrete way, I absolutely leapt at it. And that's kind of part of where my job transition happened there. It's a really great form of fitness for anyone.
So you mentioned, or how does, like, what makes a particular fitness studio more, say, LGBTQ friendly than one that may not be?
Sure. Well, I think we are very lucky in that we have a very queer staff, myself included. We're also, located near U of I, but also there's lots of really great local community resources as well. We have the Up Center, where largely speaking, a fairly queer friendly space to be around and get to exist as just queer people. And from the intentionality side of things, especially maybe studios who are wanting to be more or differently LGBTQ plus friendly. We really approach that from the beginning of our instructors training. We do a lot of training with folks, not just on safety and making sure that they can teach their content, but also meeting students where they're at. And we talk about pronouns, and how folks might choose to share those with you, but they may also not. Sometimes people aren't out in certain environments, and if you're being trusted with someone's pronouns, like, how can we make sure that that's a held space as well as people who are loud and proud about it? We do a lot of community outreach and a lot of performances around Pride. We have many performers who themselves create pieces about their own coming out journeys. And we really just try to hold space for people to tell us who they are and just believe them when they say that. And it sounds like the bar is on the floor there, but unfortunately, sometimes it can be. And just having a space where you can move your body without having to worry about what someone else is thinking about your body is really a big safety thing for a lot of folks in the queer community. So I've always been very, very proud to help provide that.
Have you thought about how you maintain that as this gets to be a more mainstream activity?
Yes, there's lots of talk in the industry, or in my opinion, there should be more about, keeping the roots and origins of pole, but while also welcoming the new and different ways that pole has continued to move throughout the world. Pole's out the box, as we like to say. You can't put it back in the box. Everybody knows it's out there. It's a cool thing now, So what do you do with that opportunity, right? And one of the things that I tell my instructors a lot is that our studio really does exist as kind of a fringe space, not so much as in we ourselves are on the fringes, yes, a little bit, but more in that we may be the only space in which someone who is maybe a little bit more mainstream might interact with folks like us, or people who are interested in these styles of dance, or people who come from different backgrounds where maybe this was something that they did professionally before it was something that they did for themselves, right? And so our space becomes a place where people from lots of different experiences and walks of life can bond and over the thing that they all love, which is dance or movement. And so just really fostering that, doing a lot to encourage folks to listen to others' point of view, to not just assume that they know what's going on. We do a lot of educational stuff when it comes to having different flags up. We had a really lovely, or we have a really lovely rotating mural space outside of our studio that for about the past year had a really lovely trans positive mural by a really awesome trans artist. So there, we do whatever we can to really just make sure that folks feel seen at the studio, while still encouraging people who may not know or might be curious about something that this is a learning space. No one's perfect when they're first learning. It's about the intent that you come in there with. And as long as you want to move and are willing to learn, we are happy to have you.
Let me remind listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the art of pole fitness, its history, what it looks like, what it means to people now. And we're talking about this with Liana Alcantara, who is owner and studio manager of Defy Gravity, a pole fitness and aerial arts studio in Urbana. So I mentioned, and you've made no secret about this in our conversation, about the origins of pole fitness. You've described Defy Gravity as a sex-positive space. I wonder how you and other people in the world of pole fitness deal with the fact that, for some people out there, this is going to be associated with the objectification of women's bodies for money, right? The origins we were talking about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. And to that, I always say, listen to this might be a novel concept for some folks, but just listen to people in the industry. They'll tell you what they need. When pole was first kind of coming to the forefront of, mainstream culture a little bit, the pole industry messed up a lot. And people who are able to acknowledge that maybe have a lot to look at in themselves, because there's a lot of pushback against, oh no, I'm not a stripper. I do pole fitness. That makes me bigger or different, even though I'm absolutely doing this thing that was created by people I'm speaking down to, right? So there was a lot of learning and a lot of kind of figuring that the industry as a whole really had to do. And I think that the studios who've been able to bridge the gap the best, and kind of what I hope to do in my own studio, is honestly to just continue listening, to be a resource for the people who quite literally created something that we are, you know, getting to enjoy as hobbyists, as people, as, you know, passion projects. You know, the creators of this dance form did so while at work. And that doesn't make it any lesser. And also, it shouldn't be stripped from.
I hear what you did there. Yeah.
That English degree comes out every once in a while.
But you were saying it shouldn't be stripped from the origins there. So, I mean, it is. I mean, it is a way of getting exercise in at its most basic level. But I think for you, it sounds like, and a lot of people, it's become more than that over time. In fact, your website talks about the power of finding joyful movement. Say more about that.
Yes, very much so. That's something that for me, especially as like a very neurodivergent person, having joyful movement and movement that was not about, you know, changing or punishing or fixing something that was, you know, inherently wrong with, right? But instead, it being just part of how I care for myself. You know, I make sure I drink my water, I make sure I take my meds, and I make sure that I get my endorphins, you know, through finding movement that is fun and feels good in my body. And just that body reconnection, especially for, you know, queer folks, or for, you know, female center folks. We live in a world that objectifies and commodifies our bodies, whether we like it or not, right? That to be, you know, coded female in this world is in some way to deal with the objectification of your body without your consent, right? That is just part of what it means to exist in a visual space. And so through movement and action that is intentionally reclaiming that space for yourself, through things like pole dance or chair dance or burlesque, or, you know, something that is more maybe dance-based but still has that artistic expression to it, it really just ties that artistic passion into all those feel-good chemicals that your brain needs anyways to just be a person in the world, right? And over time, the more that you create those habits to have those naturally in your life, not just on the brain side of things, but, you know, constantly having, you know, passion projects and things you're really excited about, and a community to share your artistic endeavors with. You know, these are things that people always say it's always so hard to find friends as an adult, and it very much so can be, if you're not actively seeking out a space kind of like this, right, where it can foster those other parts of you.
Well, just about a minute left in our time together. What would you tell someone? Okay, somebody in Urbana, I think I know what you would tell them, to visit your studio, Defy Gravity. But, you know, our show is statewide. So if somebody who is interested in this doesn't know where to start, doesn't have a 14-foot pole in their basement, maybe, how do people get involved?
You do, yep. Well, I would definitely say, you know, you can start with a Google search. There's a lot of, like you said, there's many, many local studios around. There's also lots of really great online resources, you know, ever kind of post-pandemic life. There's lots of studios that have continued to operate online. And so that can be a great way. If you do have a home pole, the home poles are definitely smaller than many studio poles, but there are, you know, definitely options there for folks who don't have a studio nearby them. Finding a buddy is also a great way to maybe go into that first class. Something that we hear very often is, oh, I watched your, I checked your website all the time, or I was watching your social media for like months before I finally got up the courage to go, right? And so that can be a great way to just, you know, like have an afternoon with a friend, you know, and maybe help get yourself in the door that first time. Or also, many studios also do parties. We do as well. That's a great way to introduce yourself or others to a studio environment, is to learn something in a little less of a fitness environment, learn it a little bit more as a fun party offering. And then you can kind of see how that feels and see if you want to go whole hog into the fitness side of it.
Liana Alcantara is the owner and studio manager of Defy Gravity in Urbana, Illinois. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That's all the time we have for today. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Damian Contreras. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.